Ali mentioned it like this, so that the officials would face the members, so that when they respond to the question, you know, we want to see you closer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members. My name is Isma Kukudu. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Studies and Education.
Good afternoon, and Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Daniel Adams, and I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Research and Development.
And good afternoon, Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Rolani Benin, the Chief Director of
Good afternoon, honourable members. Ivan Patel, I'm the DDG of Program 5, Socioeconomic Membership Foundation.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will focus on your key or sort of core delivery areas, and then you do the findings.
Thanks very much, Everton. What we hoped to do and how we interpreted the mandate was to give the overview of the DSI challenges, with the understanding that the programs and the broader white paper challenges and the role of the Department of Science and Innovation already provided to the committee. And then we also have this time, I think this will be the first time that we share with you the entities that are reporting to the ministry and the challenges that they face. At least from our perspective, I suspect when they engage with them, they may add or they may have slightly different perspectives. So we'd like to put that up front. And then we may spend very little time on point number three, because I think we touched on this yesterday, but if the chairperson would like us perhaps to bring some nuances, we'd be more than happy to look at that. And then the financial brief, the CFO is here, which will include a little bit of challenges on the human resource challenges that we have defined in the Chief Director of Human Resources could add. In fact, she's got a couple of slides that you share with the committee. So we just want to again remind the members, and this we have shared with you before, that the work that we are doing in the system of innovation is guided by these documents. The 2002 National Research and Development Strategy, the 10-year Innovation Plan, and the recent new white paper on science, technology, and innovation. Our understanding, Chair and Honorable Members, that we've shared these documents with you, and we are for the National Research and Development Strategy and the 10-year Innovation Plan in the process of evaluating these two documents. The National Advisory Council on Innovation is reviewing what has been achieved with the view that the successes that we had on those documents and the challenges that remain will feed into the 10-year plan, the decadal plan that yesterday we said we will bring to the committee towards the end of October. And then the white paper, we have given you a sense of how we can start to translate some of the intents of the white paper into the decadal plan, at least in terms of the innovation aspect. We also have a number of sector-based strategies, such as the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Strategy, which is aligned very closely with the Industrial Policy Action other government departments. In the industrial policy action plan of the GTI, you'll find a section that talks about what we're doing, and national skills plan, looking at the synergies in terms of the labour market, intelligence study, and then identify skills that are needed for the economy. So out of this document then, our policy mandate focuses on coordinating the development and implementation of country-level science, technology and innovation policies, creating systems and structures to coordinate these science, technology and innovation related work of government departments and agencies, and develop measurement systems and undertaking analysis to improve the performance of the national system of innovation. On the bottom one, every 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, the National Advisory Council on Innovation publishes statistics on the performance of the national system of innovation on a number of indicators. If I'm not mistaken, about a couple of weeks ago, they presented some technology and innovation indicators that show over years how we performed on the knowledge generation, publications and students, and on the innovation side, in terms of the patents broadly, as well as in other areas of our work. We are happy to share this report with the portfolio committee because it's a very useful report that gives a broad overview of the performance of the national system of innovation. Or should the committee require that the National Advisory Council of Innovation comes and brief you on the performance of the system, we could arrange that. Working with the chair and the secretary, we find the right slot to do that. We also optimize the governance of the publicly funded science, technology and innovation institutions reporting to the department, and make sure that they support government quality outcomes, and we will share some of those later with you. Support the development of high-level human capital for South Africa, supporting the research system in managing research areas and developing technological solutions and supporting innovation. So that's broadly who we are and what we're supposed to do. The department is structured into these programs, the program institutional planning and support, corporate services, including the CFO and human resources, program two that is responsible for technology innovation, and we have a program that is responsible for the international program, and then a program that is responsible for research development and support, and then the socio-economic partnerships. And then I'm going to spend a bit more time about what each of these branches do. Program one is responsible for administration and represents our support functions, including the Office of the Director General and the Ministry. And then program two, they are responsible for driving strategic research, development and innovation in the areas of space, science and technology, energy, bioeconomy and the emerging and converging areas of nanotechnology, robotics, photonics and indigenous communities, and to promote the realization of commercial products, processes and services from these initiatives. Yesterday I shared with you in the hydrogen program an example of the work that they do. I shared with you the indigenous knowledge system work that they do. As I say, there are others that they do in the bioeconomy. Just share the wheat breeding program. And then, of course, we didn't say anything on space yesterday, nanorobotics and photonics. It's a whole program that they fund. And then program three is responsible for making sure that the system of innovation has an exchange program for knowledge capacity and resources between South Africa and the international partners. And also we have a very, very directed program to build capacity on science, technology and innovation in the rest of the continent, and to ensure that we support the South African foreign policy through science and technology. And then program four is responsible for providing an enabling environment for research and knowledge production, which promotes the strategic development of basic sciences and private science areas through science promotion, human capital development, and the provision of infrastructure for research and relevant research support in pursuit of the transition to a knowledge economy. So that's point four. And then program five, enhance the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of partnerships with other government departments, industry research institutions, and communities. So that gives the full portfolio of branches of the department. And this is just a quick slide to remind the members of the chair of the vision, mission, and values. In the interest of time, I think we should be set before. I'd like then perhaps to move on to then the five strategic outcome oriented goals that we are pursuing up to the strategic plan that ends this financial year. So we then try and look at whether we can have a responsive, coordinated, and efficient national system of innovation. My recollection is that at the first meeting that we had when we were briefing you, we shared the concept of this national system of innovation, and that it needs to respond to the challenges of government and society, and it needs to be coordinated and it is more efficient. So all measures that we put in place to make sure that we achieve that. It's our responsibility or what we'd like to impact on. We'd like to increase the knowledge generation. The minister yesterday quoted that in the last 10 years or so, our contribution to the global knowledge has increased from about 0.4% of the global average to 0.88% with a target of 1%. So we continue to see how we can do that. Human capital development, so this is the pipeline of students from honors, masters, and PhD and post-PhD, and we'll share with you some of the challenges there. And then using knowledge for economic development and inclusive development, so those are the goals that we are pursuing in the organization. I think these slides have been kept here, but I think we discussed them yesterday. The formation of the new department facilitates the implementation of the new white paper policies in a much better way than when we were the Department of Science and Technology. And as we said yesterday, the challenge, therefore, is how do we harness the responsibilities that we have and the learning that we've been doing in the last couple of years in order to get greater impact. And the merger of the two ministries also enabled a step change in the expansion and transformation of the human capabilities of the national system of immigration. Yesterday we shared with the committee the study of the silent majority and some of the initiatives that we think we are going to put in place working with our colleagues on higher education and training to begin to address some of the challenges that we presented in that study. How to, within the current budget, take the additional innovation mandate on board? So these are some of the challenges that we have to think about. And yesterday we shared with the committee how we hope to unlock budgets from other government departments. This is one example. How to coordinate and align innovation budgets across government. At this point in time, we have started a program of looking at budget coordination within the science councils that report to other ministries. So this is an initiative to say, if there's a budget that is allocated to the science council, like Council for Geoscience or MINTEC, how do we ensure that that budget is locked and is not used for other initiatives that are not meant for that activity? And then yesterday we shared with the committee challenges of how we can set a common agenda as a country, how we can align innovation instruments, how we can have monitoring and evaluation that helps us to align activities of innovation. How do we upscale the science and technology initiatives to make the required impact on government, society, and industry? Yesterday we shared some ideas on how best we think. idea. For instance, using science, technology and innovation to enhance decision making in government, and how we can improve grassroots innovation activities, and how we can work better with industry to increase their competitiveness and productivity. Another set of challenges is how does the DSI support the necessary expansion of human capabilities of the economy working with sister departments in the ministry, Department of Higher Education and Training. We believe that working together with those ministries across the spectrum of activity that they and us have together, we can expand the human capabilities that the economy needs. And what should we role, what role should we play in the governance of the Science Council? I've already talked about this example, this problem, and what additional expertise is required by the GST. So we are embarking on a process with the Chief Director of HR to say, in the current competence, that set of competences that we have in the department, should we be thinking about looking at new competences with new mandates that we have? For instance, we've been asked on this hydrogen fuel cell economy to develop a roadmap for the whole industry in South Africa to develop this hydrogen economy. And we may not, as a department, have all the skills set that are required to develop that roadmap, and therefore thinking about how that should be and how we should structure ourselves to make sure that we align to the implementation challenges that the new white paper proposes. So that's at the highest level in terms of the department and our early thinking around some of the challenges. Now, I will quickly go through the entities that report to the ministry. And they're on this slide. The Academy of Sciences of South Africa on the extreme left, and then the National Advisory Council on Innovation, I will explain what each one of them do. And then the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions, SACNAS, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, CSIR, the National Research Foundation, the Technology Innovation Agency, Human Sciences Research Council, South African National Space Agency, as well as a special service delivery unit called the National Intellectual Property Management Office. So, before we delve into each one of them, there are some overarching challenges that they all face. The underfunding is a perennial problem to all of our entities. We provide them with what is called a parliamentary grant, so this is the vote that you as a committee vote for us to give to this entity. The norm internationally is that if these entities as public entities that do the work that government would like to do, they should get at least 50% of their parliamentary grant from the state, and then they can get other sources of funding. If I remember very well, and CFO can correct me if I'm wrong, over years, almost all of these entities are now receiving less than 50%, with the exception of the HSRC, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, the Space Agency and the Technology Innovation Agency are the newly set up entities, and we've never been able to motivate for their full budgets for them to do the mandate that they're supposed to do. And then there's an ailing science, technology, and infrastructure in most of them. And then, of course, we are looking at whether they are ready to implement the new white paper and the potential loss of staff skills due to budget cuts. Recent discussions, for instance, with one of the entities, the Council for Scientific Industrial Research, they were just indicating to us the likely challenges that they would face with the wage freeze that has been recommended by National Treasury, and how that may become a problem for them at the time when they have to use those skills to get the additional resources that they need in order to balance the skills. So let's start with the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, CSIR, listed as Schedule 3B, public entity. It gets one third of its operational budget from the state, and the remainder of the income it gets from contract income. This is the mandate of the CSIR. It's supposed to, through directed and particularly multidisciplinary research,
technological innovation fostered in the national interest and in fields which, in his opinion, should receive preference in industrial and scientific development, either by itself or in partnership with others from both the public and the private sectors, and contribute to the improvement of the quality of life of the people of the Republic, and to perform any other function that may be assigned to the CSIR by or under this Act. So it's quite a broad mandate that they have. And in unpacking what the mandate says, so it's a better utilization of the resources of the Republic, person power training to improve productive capacity, so they have to be involved in human capacity development, improve technical processes and methods to improve industrial production, and promote and expand existing as well as establishment of new industries. And we shared a little bit of our thoughts around how we can do the last point yesterday. So the implementing agent to do that would be CSR. So to conduct research, development and innovation, it localized transformative technologies and accelerate their diffusion, collaboratively improve competitiveness of high-end industries to support reindustrialization, drive socio-economic transformation through research, development and innovation, support the development of a capable state, and build and leverage human capital and infrastructure, and diversify income, maintain financial sustainability and good health. This is a slide that tries to summarize the strategic clusters that the CSIR will be driving in the next couple of years. And you'll see that it's divided into two opportunities. One is priority sectors that they have chosen and priority technologies that they will pursue in order to assist the country. So on the right hand side, you will see areas of future production, chemicals, manufacturing, and mining. So this is the work that they will be doing, as we indicated yesterday, to look at how we can support the future of mining, manufacturing, chemicals, using some technologies of the fourth industrial revolution to support existing industry. They're looking at the next generation health, and then support defense and security capabilities of the country, as well as advanced agri and food production as well. So they're looking at new technologies of advanced agriculture and food production. They've also identified smart logistics, next generation enterprises and institutions, smart places as one of the areas that would be industry and society enabling clusters. And they say this would be also underpinned and supported by fourth industrial revolution capability that would be embedded in our clusters and other enabling capabilities that the CSIR has. And then followed by the Human Sciences Research Act, and the Act is to provide for the promotion of research in the field of human sciences in order to improve understanding of social conditions and processes of social change, to provide for the continued existence of the Human Sciences Research Council, and to provide for mental and connected health. So the objectives are to address developmental challenges in the Republic, elsewhere in Africa and the rest of the world, and inform effective formulation and monitoring of policy. So for instance, they hold policy briefs every month and evaluate the implementation of some policies. They stimulate public debate and build research capability and infrastructure for the human science. I've asked at the end of presentation in Finland to add one or two areas of work that we wanted to add, but we couldn't add them on the slide to share about. They foster research collaboration, response to the needs of vulnerable and marginalized groups, and develop and make available data sets underpinning research policy development and public discussion of development issues. And you can give specific examples of what this means. And then they focus on poverty and inequality, understanding poverty and inequality, and explaining the drivers thereof and provide some solutions. So there are three broad areas that they work in: inclusive development, economic development, human and social capabilities, developmental, capable and ethical state. And what you see at the bottom are the institutions within the some HSRC that then helps them to deliver this three strategic approach. There is the Africa Institute of South Africa, AISA, which is within the HSRC, the Center for Science, Technology and Innovation Indicators, CESTI. They conduct all the R&D and innovation surveys for us. They have a unit that focuses on democracy, governance and service delivery, and economic performance and development, and the others that are shown in the bottom. Education and skills development, for instance, they conduct the survey about the challenges that we have with our medicine science students. Human and social development, research use and impact assessment and social aspect of healthcare. They conduct longitudinal surveys in some of these areas. The National Advisory Council on Innovation, NECI as it is known, its mandate is to advise the Minister of Science and Technology at the time and through the Minister of the Cabinet on the contribution of science, math and innovation in technology and promoting and achieving national goals. These are to improve and sustain quality of life, develop human resources for science, technology, build the economy and strengthen the country's competitiveness. At the moment, NACI is not listed under PFMA, but it has a council and the secretariat, and the secretariat staff are part of the department's staff. And then the Academy of Sciences of South Africa, the mandate is to honor distinguished scholars in all fields of scientific inquiry, and they also generate evidence-based solutions to national and global challenges. One of the studies that they conducted a while ago was a study on South Africa's readiness for developing shelters in the Karoo. So their goal is to recognize and reward excellence, promote innovation in scholarly activity, promote effective and evidence-based scientific advice to the state, promote public interest in and awareness of science education. So they host talks and seminars. And then they are very involved in regional and international linkages. For instance, they've been assisting in the setting up of academies in the rest of the continent. The NRF is to contribute to the national development by supporting and promoting research and human capital development through funding. So they provide funding, provide the necessary infrastructure in order to facilitate the creation of knowledge, innovation and development in all fields of science and technology, including humanities and social sciences. They develop and support and maintain national facilities that they oversee on behalf of the state, and they support and promote public awareness of and engagement with science, and promote the development and maintenance of the national science system and supporting government priorities. What they have given us in this slide, maybe quickly, as part of the challenges which we discussed and presented yesterday, are some of the numbers in terms of black representation and female representation at honors, masters, doctoral and postdoctoral level. And you can see at the honors level that we've had an increase from about 79% in 2011-2012 to about 90% at BTEC honors by 2017-2018. So that's what you see as an increase of about 14%. Sorry for this aging program. 14%. And then the 5% is the increase that has happened in the last, as you can see in the region, average growth over the last 2 years. So when you see those two numbers, the highest number is the growth from 2011-2017, and the lower number is the growth that has happened in the last 2 years. So you can see in the master's program, in the doctoral further will increase this of the global representation at this level from 2011 and 2017. And then you can see the same with the female representation. Size will increase over the last 5 years, but maybe not so much in the last 2 years. And if we have to say what are some of the challenges, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, with the funding that we get from the NRF is this issue of transformation. So we still would like to see more from these numbers. This is the in the stature category in terms of the black representation on the left and the female representation on the right. Again, you can see the increases from 2011 and 2017 on the black representation, 35 and 20% respectively. 35 is the last 5-7 years, and 20% last 2 years, and the same with the female representation. And then they show the detail of the total number of research and instructional staff at the university, that is 55,000. And then out of that number, it's 13,000 that are with doctoral degrees. And then it's only 4,708, the number of researchers that we support. So if we translate that into percentage, I think it translates to only 36%. So the NRF is only able to support only 36% of the researchers, which is a relatively small number. They have started a process of developing what they call a resource module for funding. And this process, I think, will be finalized sometime this year, and they will be presenting to the minister different resource allocation module, I think is what they call. But this just gives you a sense of the statistics and the challenges that they have in terms of only funding 36% of the total number of your research and instructional staff at the university. They found 14 centers of excellence across the universities, and they are shown here in the interest of time. Again, Chair, we would be more than happy with the NRF to come and share the productivity of these centers of excellence. The general point is that they are instruments that seem to be working very, very well in terms of helping us with the transformation targets, and they also help us very, very much in terms of increasing the knowledge production. We have steps that shows how these centers of excellence have performed in the student training as well as in the knowledge production compared to the normal programs of the National Research Foundation. The other instrument that the NRF has is the South African Research Chairs Initiative. So this is a program that was supposed to bring additionality into the science system of researchers who are given special resources to focus on research publication and student training. So this is the spread of these research chairs across the institutions, and you can see again for yourself that on the left-hand side, the universities that have been awarded these research chairs are, of course, the historically advantaged institutions. We've also asked that we look at the special breakdown of these research chairs. And again, you can see that the numbers in terms of the black and the white is skewed towards white. As we said yesterday, this is, again, the challenges that we have in the system to accelerate transformation. This is the gender breakdown. And we can see that in the last couple of years, we've at least increased the number of women researchers holding research chairs, but it's still not yet where we'd like it to be. The NRF is also responsible for national research facilities, provide unique and specialized infrastructure, and I will share these with you in the next slide. And they provide capabilities in services and human capital development. So these are the facilities that they host on behalf of government. The Tembalet, which is across the road from here, it's a particle accelerator. The South African Radio Astronomy Observatory that is hosting the SKA and the facility in Archibius Book. The South African Astronomical Observatory that is based here in Cape Town, as well as in Sutherland, the Southern African Large Telescope. and the Environmental Observation Network, SION, as well as the Aquatic Environment and Marine Offshore Research that is done and closed by the South African Institute of Aquatic Biodiversity. So they do all the research around the fish species that we have in South Africa and how best we can conserve these fish species. And then they are involved in, through the South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement, SASTA, to promote scientific literary society. District municipalities are reached through public science events such as the National Science Week. 34 science centers across 8 provinces is what they oversee, and also promote medical science at school level through a number of instruments. Olympiads, competitions, career profiling, role modeling, science camps, and workshops. The challenges broadly at the NRFS indicated is the transformation of human capital development, and then the research infrastructure, which is aging, and then the limited reach of science engagement, as well as getting more benefits from international cooperation, especially making sure that the historically disadvantaged institutions are also benefiting from international cooperation resources that we bring into the science system. Of course, we are looking at how we can get the synergies that we can derive from our colleagues and our partner from the DHET to look at increasing capital development through bursaries, the next generation knowledge production, research infrastructure, science engagement, and international cooperation. As we indicated yesterday, the two departments are already going to have work streams that are looking at what are the synergies that we derive between these two in order to address some of these challenges. And then we have the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions. It's a regulatory professional body that is responsible for making sure that scientists, if they do work, consulting work, and they provide reports, that they are properly registered and they are properly regulated. And then we have a space agency whose role is to promote the peaceful use of space technology, and then foster research in space science, communication, navigation, space physics, advanced scientific engineering and technological competencies, and foster international cooperation in space-related activities. It's a 3A-listed public entity, and then it works with a number of knowledge partners. I'm not so sure if Honorable Chair will have the opportunity to share with the committee the, one of the work that recently they are doing, that all flights in the next couple of years will be expected to have space weather information when they fly. And the South African National Space Agency was appointed as one of the agencies or institutions in the African continent that will collect this space weather information. And we've currently looked at how we can provide them with the resources on how they can do this at the Manas Magnetic Observatory. And again, we'd like to offer an invitation to the committee, because it's not far from here. It's a very impressive work that they are doing in this area amongst. So the goal is to develop a suite of space application products and services, building of core space infrastructure, the generation of space-relevant knowledge that supports the developmental agenda, the development of requisite human capacity that is needed for the implementation of key space initiatives. Just to remind the members of the committee that in the first elections, I'm sure you all remember the long queues that we saw. And they worked with the commission that is responsible for elections, IEC, to look at how using space satellite image you can reduce the number of people who have to stand in long queues. And you remember that these days, sometimes it takes you about 30 minutes or 45 minutes for you to get voting rights. So this is the work that they do, that they're monitoring the development of human settlements using satellite image data. but they are not fulfilling all of their money. This is just where they get their money from, mainly from the parliamentary grants for green, and then ring fence funding the blue line, as you can see, goes up and down, and then they have to derive commercial income, mainly by checking satellites and developing other satellite providers, and then you can see the total revenue. And we do agree that the parliamentary grant of 144 million compared to a budget of 2.5 billion that they presented to us at the beginning is not enough. The source of that number is the National Space Strategy. Of course, like all other entities, they have also been hit by a budget cut. And then staffing costs amount to 87% of the parliamentary grant. So if you ask them to look at the infrastructure that is around what they need to do in the space arena, and again, when the portfolio committee is settled, we'd like to invite you to two facilities which are here in Cape Town. One is in Khabo that is looking at assembly, integration, and testing of satellites, and another one in Fredericksburg that is looking at the launch capability that South Africa has and that can still be used for certain medium range satellites. No funds for capitalization or recapitalization, and the scope is not focusing on telecoms and navigation and position applications. Sometimes when you go to certain parts of the country, the voice on the map doesn't work. And the thing that you can recommend some of the Google information for navigation by having the space agency which has the capability to do this to reach on the areas which are not on the Google Maps. And then the Technology Innovation Agency states to support the state in stimulating and intensifying technology innovation. And then there's a vision and mission that they have, and the interest of time they have skipped and shared. This is just the history of the Technology Innovation Agency. It was formed by putting together what we used to call the Biotechnology Regional Innovation Centers, BRICS, that were in Cape Town, Life Lab, Plant Bio, and BioPrep. These were in one of them, David, one was in Cape Town, one was in the Friday, and then I think one was in the and also the Innovation Fund. The Advanced Manufacturing Technology Science Team to the South, so they were all moved to the Technology Innovation Agency. So their expectation is that they should be involved in manufacturing, they should be involved in developing the bio economy, the rollout of the technology stations and the growth support for innovations. These are the technology stations, a network of 18 of them that are based at the universities of technology. And they do a range of activities, testing and analytical services, rapid prototyping. Yesterday I showed the example of the work that the Central University is doing on reconstructive surgery. And they provide consultation, they provide technology audit, research and development, process and product development, applied development, engineering and design, and then technology demonstration and training. And then the Technology Innovation Agency provides for the system a range of platforms, and they are shown here, platforms of bioprospecting, a platform of making sure that the conversion of bioproducts into foods, they are done in a safe way. There's a drug discovery and development platform and center for certain specific genomic platforms. They also host the Young Innovators Awards for people between 18 and 30 years, and the program aims to fund the development and commercialization of innovative ideas and supporting social innovation, and the offerings are prototype development, technology development, funding, incubation support, testing and certification and subsistence allowance. So if you're a young person with an innovative idea, we always refer them to the Technology Innovation Agency. And they've got four clusters that they also run to support innovation in the forest sector. Yes, And then they also run the Innovation for Inclusive Development Program on our behalf, where they support us with innovation, living labs, farms, technology, natural machine development, farm innovation facilities. But the examples that I gave yesterday are around the technology innovation. The challenges are inadequate baseline funding, and they have identified gap funding of approximately 250 million rands for opportunities that come to the agency, but they are unable to find them. There's a big unhappiness from the stakeholders that we have picked up, and they have agreed on this, and then we're also looking at organizational capability to respond to the needs of the stakeholders as quickly and as efficient as it should. And they are looking at positioning themselves for the future to implement the white paper, and they have identified some strategic focus areas, and they are shown in the program. So with your permission, Honorable Chair, I'd like then CDHR to talk about some human resource matters, mainly the department, and maybe the CFO to conclude with their finance situation.
Can we get the finances first? Or how that the HR had done?
Okay.
CFO can come and sit next to me. Promise to get done.
I should be a larger one.
Thank you once more, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm not going to spend much time on the first two slides because they were presented at the portfolio committee meeting that took place on the 3rd of July. But this slide, what it depicts is the past expenditure trend and celebrated outcome. The adjusted budget for 18-19 financial year, as well as the 2019 medium-term expenditure framework estimate. And the information here is broken down per program. This slide provides similar total figures. However, it is broken down per economic classification, social compensation, with the services, transfer subsidies, payment of capital and financial assets. And then this is a graphical analysis of our allocation per program. And you can all see that program four, the program that is responsible for research and development support, is getting the biggest budget allocation, which is more than half of the department's budget at 56%. It is then followed by program 5 and 2 at 22 and 15% respectively. Those three programs are rendering the core functions in the department. And all of them, when we add the budget allocation, it constitutes 93% in aggregate. And then therefore, the remaining 7% is allocated to Program 1, which is administration, and also Program 3, which is responsible for international cooperation. This graphic representation is also analyzing the information per economic classification, and we allocate our budget in four categories. First one being compensation of employees, which is salary. Goods and services comprises of administrative and operational costs. Capital assets is mainly tools of trade, of expenditure, equipment, computer, etc. And for the transfers and subsidies, which is the biggest chunk of the pie, and 92% this is the money that gets transferred to those public entities reporting under the minister, as Didi has presented them. Some of the funds go to other tribe councils not reporting to the minister and other institutions such as universities. And we remain as a department with 8% for salaries and local issue. And this is just to zoom into the transfer budget, as we have seen that it's actually the biggest chunk of the allocation, and also analyzing the three programs that provide a core function. And those three programs, 99% of the 92%. So this 92%, if I can go back quickly, there maybe you can look at 1920 as a base, under transfers and subsidies, the 92% is the 7.5 billion rand. So of that 7.5 billion rand, 99% of it is allocated between the three programs. And again, the same model also the same marketing model made it same as it is sitting under transfer program 4, having 50% of the transfers and 24% is program 5 and 15% is program 2. And this is to provide more information as to what is the transfer funding that is allocated in this program for. And you can see the 50% under program 4 that we spoke about in monetary value, that is equivalent to 4.5 billion rate of the 7.5 billion that we just saw in the first two slides. So this is how the transfer funding is distributed. This program also through this program, we transfer parliamentary grant to our two public entities, which is the Academy of Science of South Africa, ASAF, and also the National Research Foundation, which is the NRF. So where we wrote PG inside brackets, so that means parliamentary grant. So we also support South Africa. Yes, DG spoke about the entity that is not yet listed, the one that regulates natural scientists. We also support them through this program under the line item human resource development, but not all of it, because the bulk of that money goes to the National Research Foundation for Bursaries. Chair and members, it's evident from this slide when we look through this line item that this project, this program, mainly support human capital development and also the research infrastructure. Then we zoom in to program 5, which gets the second biggest allocation. Similar to program 4, it also transfers parliamentary grants to two public entities, which is the CSIR and also the Human Science Research Council. We can also identify that by seeing the word PG next to the name of those entities. And this program, it supports various initiatives in various sectors, as reflected on the slide, invest in the ICT space, invest in mining, and I think DG has indicated briefly in his opening remarks as to what is this program responsible for. They also invest initiatives in the green economy and also responsible for the R&D tax incentive to encourage private sector investment into R&D. And now we move into program 2. Program 2 has been allocated a budget of 1.145 billion rand. It also transfers parliamentary grants to public entities, technology innovation agencies, South African National Space Agencies. The program also invests in various initiatives for research and development and also supporting commercialization. And those initiatives can also be read from the slide as ranging from bioeconomy, which includes the indigenous knowledge system, health, we're investing also in health and energy, space science, also promoting and protecting the intellectual properties. In terms of the 2019 MTEF allocation, the final allocation data that we got reflected that our budget was cut from what we had anticipated from the previous baseline. And this slide actually indicates that. And you can see from year one of the MTEF cycle, 97.4 million was cut, and going through the second, we can see a total of 265 million rand has been cut over the MTEF cycle. And part of this 265 million rand, over 3 years, the 97 million rand relates to this financial year that we are in. And normally in other years, because we had CD cuts since 2016 now, what will happen in other years, treasury will just tell us that we want you to cut your budget by X amount and use your own discretion as to when you will effect the cut. So this has been the norm in previous years. However, how they did it in this year in question, it has been different because they were prescriptive as to when they want this cut to be effected. They prescribed that they wanted entities to reduce their goods and services budget by 1%, and also a certain category of senior managers must suspend their payment for bonuses and also their payment for cost of living adjustment, which is salary increase. And part of the cut was the cut that was effected under the per kilometer array budget. In aggregate, it was over 80 million rand, and 24.8 million was the cut, the money that they just took away. But the 58 million was moved within the department's budget to be reallocated to the refurbishment of the office building, because our office building has got structural challenges that it needed funding to attend to those challenges. And now the 2020 MTF process has started, and we were anticipating that we actually start planning for further possible cuts in the next MTF period, cut for 5% in 2020, 6% in 2021, 7% in 2022, and those cuts in monetary value, they aggregate to an amount of 1.6 billion rand over the medium-term expenditure framework cycle. And here we're just indicating the impact of the cut. From the HR, if members have time to go through the HR slides, so we have learned that we've got lots of vacancies. Most of those that are in core areas that we are unable to fill because the compensation budget limit has been kept at a certain amount whereby we restricted not to exceed. And then also the wage freeze, and I think the DD has also indicated that well, this, how this challenge the entities is that they saying this wage freeze is actually impacting their ability to retain and also attract high-end skills because they are unable to compete with the private sector. And also, the 2019-20 budget cut, though it did not affect the department's other programs, but the budget cuts that were effected in 2017 and 2018 MTF, because when they effected over the period of 3 years, and that 3 years also affected this 1920 financial year because it was part of those two MTF cycles, also had a negative impact in the department in terms of our own targets, whereby we had to revise targets and reduce numbers of the postgraduate students that we intended to support We also had to reduce numbers in terms of the research infrastructure grants and also some of the targets that we intended in terms of the placement of some students in various organizations for experiential training. And here we just showing the impact of the budget growth, if it has, was this aligned to inflation or not, and also analyzing the 2019 MTF figures, that those are the budgets they reconcile to the first slide, the blue slide that shows the various amounts and the total amount broken down, the problem that they couldn't classification. So the second row indicates those, that is the allocated budget for the second, and emanating from 18-19 financial year, we have used the original budget for fair comparison, and also from the slide, the nominal growth of the budget, and comparing it with the inflation rate forecast. It shows that the first and the outer year of the MTF cycle, and we have the negative, we have a negative growth of the budget, but even the 2021 growth is extremely insignificant at 0.3%. And yes, this slide is just explaining what I had just said, I think. Yeah, and this is also just showing that the issue of budget not growing in line with inflation has been the case even in the past three financial years, and yeah, that actually was the situation. And this is a summary slide of the allocation that has been made to entities. Some of the information EDG was included in the slides that you presented when you presented, you gave information on entities. All right.
Yeah, thank you very much. Did you want to say something closing to us, or is this the end of your presentation?
Yes, Chair. Okay. Maybe there are four summary issues that we want to give the committee with. The first one is this challenge associated with what we presented yesterday. Making sure that the work that we've done can now find more impact by working with other government departments. We've said that we think we have a mechanism of addressing that problem, but of course we will hope the committee will assist us, because some of the work at this level might require inter-portfolio committee interaction. So that's the first proposal that we'd like you to consider. The second one relates to the transformation challenges. We think that we will work with our colleagues from DHEC for now, but there is a likelihood that those challenges go back to the resource allocation, both at the level of the students as well as in the challenge of researchers that we want to bring in order to deal with the transformation. And then the third challenge is the funding challenge, which we have already all agreed to, operating 1.5% of gross expenditure on R&D as a percentage of GDP. In the MTSF medium-term strategy framework for the next 5 years, we are saying that working with other government departments and other structures, we think realistically in the next 5 years we can reach 1.1% from 0.8. As a global figure, which we could then use with others to address the first two problems that we have said. And then the fourth and the last issue which we'd like the committee to take as a take-home message is that we are concerned about the budget cuts that affect the department and its capability to do the work that it has done before and the work that we're going to do in the future. So those are the four key messages that we'd like to give the committee. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. We spend on the title.
that presentation in your briefing room because of time. So members, let's engage. It's not compulsory for all of us to speak. I'm going to go to the head. That's what I was saying. I think the last time when we engaged with the department, when we were looking at the APPs and the budgets, you recall that we did indicate that your financial presentation was inadequate. We did not get to see the picture that you are seeing today. That's why we said we'd like to engage with you. But now the picture is emerging and it looks like it's a bit of a horrible picture about not about the management of the finances, but about the reduction, the steep reduction in the allocation to the department. And I think it's something that all of us should this portfolio committee, that important departments that carry such a huge responsibility receiving less and less allocation. So it's something that I am worried about, and I'm sure that the committee members would also be worried about. But thanks for the presentation. Honorable Diego,
thank you very much. Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. I think just the proposal, right? Because I feel like it will be making injustice to this report. Ordinarily, when you attend classes or back in the school, math and science, they normally come in the morning. It happens so precisely because the human brain can only function X number of hours, and the HSS, human social sciences, they come there at the end. So I think that we take the similar approach we did so that we don't rush. Suppose there are some of the issues that were raised, the issue of budget here and the finances, a very critical issue that needs a deep understanding of why is that happening and what steps do we take thereof to move forward. So I think we should perhaps with all this, the entire board of HR, we set our questions or comments so that when they come back, the reports are then clarifying whatever we want to raise now, as opposed to doing it now, because even time is no longer on our side, besides fatigue.
Okay.
I want to support the proposal, but also to say on the presentation of HR that we're going to do, must at least also include the number of personnel they get. What I see here on the budget, it says only 5% of the budget goes into compensation of people. So that one has to check. The personnel is therefore equivalent of it. Is enough for the department to have interfaced and manage all of those things? So, and I want to support the proposal and another one to change the
okay. Since there's no dissent from the proposal to support it, so I think that means like that. Yesterday it was decided in the Department of Science and Innovation, and then later on we have high education did not get sufficient attention yesterday. So today we started with high education, and then it took a while of our time, and then we scheduled PSI. So we are just trying to come back.
terrible improvement in terms of meditation. Thank you very much, DJ. Any questions? Honorable members, thank you. It has been a long day.
Yeah.
So let's meet tomorrow in the house in the afternoon. Next is what you for on Tuesday. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.